Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
It's been a long time since I've read a no-sleep type story sent in by a viewer just like you. Usually, I either write them myself or commission an author to do so. But today, I decided since this was such an interesting story in my opinion, that I would share it with you all here. This is a story that's definitely mind-bending and will send you through a loop. If you love nature, especially the mountains, the forest, and fresh open air, this is a tale for you. Be sure to submit your story if you have one you would like to share at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories just like yours that help keep this channel going. Be sure to hit that like button and subscribe if you haven't already, and let's get into this creepy story that'll keep you out of the mountains. The mountains were so beautiful. I made a stop to an overlook on the Blue Ridge Parkway. According to the old wooden sign, the elevation was 3,584 feet above sea level. The fall colors were so bright and overwhelming. This was the perfect weekend to be on the parkway. It was definitely the prime time for seeing the fall colors in their perfect beauty. In another couple of weeks, the leaves would start falling off. Lots of folks are terrible at timing their trips to be here in the prime time, but I am evidently pretty darn good at it. I just realized how big I was smiling. I was so happy to be off for the weekend and by myself to get a much-needed break from my mundane accounting job. That big smile I was wearing just dissolved pretty quickly with my remembrance of my dead-end, unfulfilling job. I took one last look and hopped in my car and checked on my GPS the distance to my cabin rental for the weekend. It was just a few more miles down the road. The road was almost pitch black and it felt like I was driving through a tunnel that was on fire. I was happy that my rental would be at a high elevation. The GPS is showing 1 mile to go and the car was still climbing upward. From the directions I was given by the cabin owners, the Swansons, I would be looking for a narrow dirt road on my right. The name was simply Victoria Lane. It was a rather distinguished name for such a narrow dirt road at the top of the mountain. I turn in and make my way up the narrow, rocky, and winding road. The trees' branches were hanging down as if they were trying to grab the roof of the car and stop me from going any further. As I looked in the rearview mirror, I saw a dust cloud following me. One thing I did not see were houses. Just trees and some rocks. Then, the road started to get steep. Very steep. It started to freak me out, to be quite honest. I was driving a Mini Cooper, and it took everything the poor little car had to keep going. How in the hell do people get up this road in the rain or snow? Thank God the road was starting to level out a couple of minutes later and didn't sound like my engine was about to have a heart attack anymore. I drove a couple of minutes more and I see a two-story log cabin on the left. This was the Swansons' home and where I would be getting the keys to the rental. This house was gorgeous. It looked like something that would be on the cover of a mountain scenery calendar. These folks had to be loaded. I pulled into the driveway and got out of the car. The car looked to be relieved that it was finally going to be able to rest. I jokingly pat the little car on the hood. Yep, these people were loaded. There was a newer model Range Rover in the garage and a sleek Tesla parked right alongside it. I was not sure what these folks did for a living, but business was evidently very good. I was met at the front door, before I even knocked, by a middle-aged woman with blonde hair and a very petite figure. She gave a smile. It certainly appeared to be forced, but I didn't really care. I'm not here to make friends, just here to get my cabin key. "Mr. Smith, I presume," the woman said solemnly. "Yes, you have a beautiful home. Thank you for renting out your cabin to me," I said. "The house is too large and is more trouble than it's worth," she said in a very sorrowful voice. I thought it was a rather weird statement, but I shrugged it off. "Well, I am certainly impressed with it," I said quickly. "Here are your keys. The cabin is up the road. Enjoy your stay," she said, and shut the door quickly. I turned around and mumbled, "Good talk." As I got back in my car, I drove down the cement driveway back to Victoria Lane. The road curved around the back of the house, which was just as immaculate as the front. There was a very impressive pool and pool house out back. The pool house would put a lot of people's real houses to shame. The road started to get steep again. I shifted the car into low, and the Mini huffed and puffed for a little while longer. Then I came upon a clearing and saw the cabin up on the left. This cabin was even more beautiful than the pictures online. It was basically a smaller version of the owner's home. I saw a man in the yard trimming the hedges. He looked to be middle-aged as well, so I was assuming he was Mr. Swanson. He didn't seem to notice me driving up, or either he just didn't give a damn. "Hey there, one hell of a place you have out here. Gorgeous," I said to the man with his back turned. He didn't respond at all. I got my suitcase and walked up the wood steps to the porch. I unlocked the door and placed my suitcase inside. I turned around to offer a second attempt at conversation with the man. I heard a motor starting, and he was driving off on one of those John Deere Gators, without even looking my way whatsoever. Jeez, whatever happened to good old Southern hospitality? I shrugged and went into the house and looked around. It was spotless and looked like a Pottery Barn catalog. They definitely spared no expense on the furniture and decorations. The cabin had a very pleasant woody aroma and a nice potpourri smell, but not too strong, just right. I went into the bedroom and just fell face first onto the incredibly comfortable king-size bed. I was worn out from the long ride, and I decided to take a short nap. I had almost drifted off to sleep when I heard a knock on the door. I was certainly startled, as I was almost asleep and the fact that I shouldn't be having visitors. I didn't think the very sociable owners would have dropped by for tea. I got up and slowly went to the front door. There was no one there. Maybe I was in a dream state and just thought I heard a knock. I then heard a squeaking sound to my left. I went outside the front door, onto the rustic wraparound porch, and began to walk left. The wood made creaking noises as I slowly walked down the porch. As I rounded the corner of the house, I saw a little girl in a tire swing attached to an enormous oak tree that had to have been a couple of hundred years old. She had long brown hair, and she was also wearing a yellow dress. She was staring at me and giving me a big smile like she knew me well. "Hello?" I said in a perplexed tone. "Hi there. My mommy and daddy own the cabin, and we live just down the way," she said. "Okay, great. This cabin is terrific. What's your name?" I asked. "Victoria," she replied. "Oh, cool. So your parents named the road after you." "Can't say I have my own road," I said with a grin. "Yeah, it's pretty great. I never forget my address," she said with a giggle. The little girl appeared to be 8 or 9 years old. I didn't ask because I thought it might sound a little too creepy. "Do your mom and dad know you're up here?" I asked. "Yeah, I spend a lot of time outside and I love the swing. There's a path right there that goes directly to my house. You should check it out sometime. My dad even built me a treehouse down that way." I squinted and strained to see since the sun was shining. "Yep, I think I see the path over there. Sure, I'll check it out before I leave. I always wanted a treehouse when I was little. I never got one though." Definitely one of the drawbacks of growing up in the city, I said. It was nice to meet you, Victoria. I'm going to head in for a nap. I am rather pooped from the long drive here, I said. Yes, sir. Nice meeting you, too. She waved and continued to swing as I turned my way into the house. I headed back into the bedroom, still hearing the squeaking from the swing outside. I opened up the bedroom window to let in some fresh mountain air. I lay back down and drifted to sleep. A knock at the door jolted me awake. It was dark outside and I glanced at the red numbers on the old clock that read 9:30. Then there was another knock. Coming, I yelled. I slowly dragged myself out of bed and headed to the front door. I glanced through the curtain and saw that it was Victoria smiling at me, holding a basket. Hey, Victoria. Kinda late. What's up? Do your mom and dad know you're up here? I thought it was rather odd for her not to be in bed at this time of night. Yes, sir, they know. They sent me up here to give you this, she said excitedly. She handed me a wooden basket that contained a linen cloth wrapped around something. The cloth was warm and had a nice aroma coming from whatever it was wrapped around. I slowly unwrapped the mystery object. It was chocolate chip cookies. Wow, cookies. Hot too, I said. Yep, I helped Mommy bake them myself. We always bake a batch for new guests. I'm sorry we didn't get it up here sooner. Well, good night. It is my bedtime and Mommy told me to hurry back. She smiled and took off rather quickly. Thank you, and please tell your mom thank you for me, I yelled as she ran into the darkness. I went back into the cabin with my cookies and plopped down on the sofa. I flipped on the TV and started shoving cookies in my mouth. Damn, these are good cookies, I mumbled to myself as I ravenously devoured it. Before I knew it, I had eaten all of them in the basket. I saw that the TV had Netflix on it, so I loaded up the app and found Doctor Who, and watched for a couple of hours before I dozed off again. I woke up at about 6 a.m. the next morning and decided to get an early start. I planned to head to Grandfather Mountain and do a little hiking. I got dressed and headed out the door to my car. I sped off down the gravel road. I had to ride the brakes due to the steep grade. I glanced over at the owner's home, and there didn't seem to be any activity. It made sense. It was an early Saturday morning. As I rounded the last turn before getting to the highway, I slammed on the brakes. There was a little girl laying on the ground beside a bicycle. It was Victoria. I jumped out of the car and sprinted to the little girl. She was crying and her jeans were ripped at the knee, and she was bleeding. Victoria, are you okay? I exclaimed. Yeah, I think so. I just cut my knee. It's bleeding pretty bad, she said amid her painful sobs. She had quite a gash. Blood was flowing down her leg like lava out of a volcano. We need to put some pressure on it. Let me get something out of my car to put on it, I said. I was a volunteer firefighter in my community back home, and I had my EMT certification, so I knew a thing or two about first aid. As I was getting up, she stopped me. We can just use this sweatshirt. It is old and worn out, no biggie, she said. She untied the sleeves of the white Hello Kitty sweatshirt from around her waist and handed it to me. I promptly placed it on her knee and started pressure. She let out a small cry of pain. The cut was bad enough. It was worse than I had thought. The stitches were definitely going to be needed. At least a couple. We need to get you back to your mom, I said. I looked at her pink bike and looked at her. Listen, I have a bike rack at the back of my car. I'm going to put your bike on there, and then we'll head up to your house. Now put your hand here and keep putting pressure on it until it stops bleeding, I said quickly, but calmly, not to make her any more upset. I got up and picked up the little pink bike and walked to the back of my car and latched it on. Afterward, I walked around to get Victoria. She was gone, except for her bloody sweatshirt. I looked around, frantically yelling her name, but nothing. It was like she just vanished into thin air. It didn't take me more than a minute to get her bike attached to my car. She didn't have enough time to go anywhere without me noticing. This was insane. Where is she? I pulled out my cell phone and searched for the Swanton's phone number and called. There were three rings before I heard a woman's voice. Hi, Mrs. Swanton? This is the renter Terry Smith. As I was driving out today, I found Victoria in the road where she had fallen off her bike. She is fine, she has a cut on her knee, but other than that, she is good. She is putting pressure on it now. However, as I was attaching her bike to my car, she ran off. Is she back at the house by any chance? I said out of breath. Victoria! She yelled. Then there was a pause. Then the line went dead. This is freaking weird, I said to myself. I decided to call out Victoria's name a few more times, but there was still no answer. I walked over to both sides of the road peering into the woods, but she wasn't there. Why wasn't she answering me? She couldn't be far at all. Why would she just run off? It hit me that she may have left a blood trail. Her leg was gushing pretty good. I am also willing to bet it started flowing faster when she started moving. I looked all over and saw nothing. I got back to the car and headed back to the house and looked out the window for her along the way. I threw the sweatshirt in the back seat and proceeded to do a 3-point turn in the road. As I started back up the road, I heard what sounded like a siren. I stayed put for a moment and looked in my rearview mirror and saw a sheriff's deputy pull into the road behind me. The deputy bolts out of the car with his weapon raised and yelled for me to get out of my car with my hands up. He is a very large, muscular guy with sunglasses. However, all I was paying attention to was the handgun pointed straight at me. I was in complete shock. I didn't know what the heck was going on. As I was getting out, the Swanson's Range Rover was speeding towards me from the other direction. What the heck is going on? Why are you pointing a gun at me? I yelled. Shut the F up and get on your knees and put your hands behind your head, the officer yelled. I heard the Range Rover slam on the brakes and slide into the gravel towards me. Then both doors swung open like horses' gates at a Kentucky Derby. The owner jumped out of the car like it was on fire. Where's my daughter? Where is she? The woman screamed. Her husband said nothing. He appeared to be too shocked to say anything. He just ran behind his wife. Jesus, she was just here and then she was gone, I said. Where's the girl? Said the deputy. I don't know. She fell off her bike and she was here. I pointed at the bike of my car to show I wasn't completely crazy about what I was saying. Bill, oh my God, look. She started sobbing uncontrollably when she looked at the bike. Is that Victoria's bike, ma'am? The deputy said. Yes, that's hers. This monster has her, she cried. Have her? What the heck are you talking about? I don't have her. I stopped to help her, that is all. She can't be far, I said. The deputy went to my car and looked all around. He opened the back door and then he began to talk on his radio. I need backup now, he said quickly. Ma'am, is this your daughter's sweatshirt? He said to the frantic mother as she picked up the Hello Kitty sweatshirt covered in blood from Victoria's lacerated knee. Her eyes were wide. She turned completely pale and fell to her knees. Yes, that was what she was wearing when she went missing. Oh my God, is that blood on it? She screamed as she turned towards me. She charged at me screaming, What have you done to my little girl? What have you done? The deputy pulled her off me, and she just fell to the ground sobbing. The husband fell down beside her. They were distraught, and I couldn't blame them, but I had no idea what was happening. The husband looked like he had just seen a ghost for some reason. I didn't do anything to Victoria. This is ridiculous. I was sweating profusely and shaking in disbelief. I was on the verge of hyperventilating. The deputy violently handcuffed me and threw me into the back of the police car. My head slammed against the roof of the car. As more policemen arrived, they scoured the area looking for Victoria. All I could do was shake my head and stare at the floor of the car, trying to wake up from this nightmare. A police officer came and opened the door and questioned me about Victoria. I explained everything I knew, the tire swing, the cookies, the bike, and they just looked at me like I was insane. Maybe I was. I just kept telling them over and over I had not done anything with Victoria other than try to help her. She was somewhere in the woods and they could just, you know, ask her when she was found. The officer made a statement that was burned into my brain that will never leave me. Sir, Victoria has been missing for 6 months, said the officer. That's impossible. She was here. I saw her yesterday, last night, and this morning. I'm not crazy, I said while holding back tears and vomit. Be that as it may, sir, you are under arrest for kidnapping a Victoria Swampin', and God only knows whatever else you do once you tell us where she is. And you will tell us, said the deputy. He slammed the door and got into the driver's seat. We pulled out onto the highway headed toward where I assumed police station was. I looked back to see a frantic speckle as the officers searched for Victoria. The parents were still on the ground sobbing in each other's arms. We hadn't been 100 yards down the highway when my blood ran ice cold and my heart sunk all the way to my stomach. I saw a small figure standing in the woods between two pine trees as we rode away. It was her. It was Victoria, with a face of stone, showing no emotion. I began to scream. Thanks for listening to this creepy story based in the mountains, written by Rad Gamer Dad. Thank you so much, my friend, for allowing me to share this with the audience here. If you guys enjoyed this story, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. Comment down below letting me know what your favorite part of the story was. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite scary stories from the swamp on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform you can find. I know I say this a ton, but I appreciate you guys so much for always supporting the Swamp and everything we do here. If you're not aware, the Swamp Dweller merch store will be shutting down soon. There's only a couple more items left up on the Teespring store. I am going to be switching to a new merchandise provider that will give me cheaper pricing options for you guys. But if you want to buy these original designs, be sure to get them now. I'm going to be uploading only new designs on my new merch store. These designs will never be printed again, so definitely get them before they're all gone. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Lime Headphone. Comment that down below to let me know you made it to the end and to confuse anybody who didn't. Thank you guys as always. And I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.